We're going to have to learn to do some difficult things for the kingdom of God. We're not going to see the name of Jesus emerge again in the public square unless we have the courage to do some difficult things. We're not going to see that come back into our schools and our college campuses and our hospital corridors and our courtrooms and our factory floors and our corporate boardrooms unless we're willing to make some difficult choices. Hey, we're walking through this crazy season of turmoil, and yet we need our faith to flourish in the midst of it. Well, to do that, the foundations of our faith are essential. We've got to not just know about them, we have to understand them and assimilate them into our practice. We're going to explore a little bit this idea of transmitting God's authority. The biblical language is the laying on of hands, but it's really how we establish continuity in the communication of our faith from generation to generation, from place to place. It's an important part of your journey. Enjoy the lesson. We've been working on this little series. It's not a little series. We've been working on this theme of leading with our faith. The influence of our lives. The thing above all else you want to be identified with is being a follower of Jesus of Nazareth. I'm happy for you to be a butcher, a baker, or a candlestick maker. And whatever other adjectives and attributes you want to list in your resume, but at the head of all of those things, you want to be identified with Jesus. And the reality is we haven't lived that way. We've been undercover. We've been covert. We've been quiet. We've been timid. We've been reticent. We've been reluctant. We have tremendous confidence oftentimes to use our influence in many arenas professionally or the business world or athletically, or we have opinions about fantasy teams or whatever. But when it comes to our faith, people with tremendous authority and confidence in those other arenas go, well, you know, I don't know much about that. I don't pray. I don't know how to do that. What do you mean we don't know? Let's change our verbiage and say, I'm really a weak Christian. I'm an uninformed beginner. I'm a toddler. I'm still wearing Pampers and I've got a pacifier. We got to change our mindset. There's no such thing as a disciple of Jesus that doesn't know how to talk about him. We may do it in a clumsy way. We may do it in a broken way. I don't play golf anymore, but I've been on the golf course with lots of people and they think they're golfers. They're not. They're inspectors of the riverbanks and the ponds and the weeds. And I was with them. I know. I was right over there with them. If you play golf like me, don't get angry. Just smile. Because the fact that you occasionally hit a good shot was a blessing from God. It had nothing to do with your ability. And I'm telling you, we've come to church and we've imagined that we've grown. We haven't. We've got to learn to use the influence of our lives. And the evidence that we've been so weak and so anemic is the culture around us. I had a meeting this week with an official from the state. When he said to me, Alan, I'm so glad you weren't in the meeting with me this morning. He said, I sat with a group of men. And he said, they were demonic. He said, they're mutilating the bodies of prepubescent boys and girls. He said, it's evil. Folks, we're the salt and the light. So leading with our influence of our faith is so important. And the influence is one component, but your faith is the equal component. We've had so much confusion about faith. I've spent a lot of time in some segments of the church that lead with the idea of faith. And the purpose of faith is not to make your life more affluent or more comfortable or more convenient. It's abundantly clear in the language of the New Testament that to be a person of faith is to be a faithful person. Faithful to the Lord. The blessings of the Lord come with your faithfulness, not with the measure of your faith. Amen, Pastor. Amen. We've been confused about that. And then we draw lines and we fight. Are you one of those prosperity people? Well, yeah, I'm for blessings. What are you, a poverty person? I mean, I understand it's misused, but so's food, but I intend to eat again. Automobiles are used for ungodly things, but I'm gonna use mine to go home tonight. Don't be confused because things are misappropriated. The notion of faithfulness is so essential. So the question that to me seems paramount in this is, what does it mean to be faithful to the Lord? And you don't want a proof text for that. You just need to know that the concept of faithfulness has tremendous value in Scripture. And so the simplest presentation I can think of is Hebrews 3, where it says, those of you who share in the heavenly calling, fix your thoughts on Jesus. That's an interesting introduction. If you share in the heavenly calling, do you live like you have a heavenly calling or do you live like you have an earthly calling? I've done funerals lately and there's been too much earthly calling. You want the story of your life to be more about your investment in heaven than your investments on earth. I promise. Help a brother out if he's going to have to make a comment about your life. We share in the heavenly calling. Fix your thoughts on Jesus, the apostle and high priest whom we confessed. He was faithful to the one who appointed him. Think of all the things you could say about Jesus. And the author of Hebrews says he was faithful to the one who appointed him. Now, the audience is the Jewish community, and so the comparison is with Moses, and he says that Jesus was faithful. He was found worthy of greater honor than Moses, that Moses was faithful in God's house, but Jesus is faithful over God's house. We want to be faithful in the assignment that we've been given. I can't think of a greater honor or a greater attribute than faithfulness to the Lord. So I began to ask myself, what are the components that feed into that? And to try to go back and look at Jesus and Moses and what was said of them. And that's what led to this little list that I keep getting stuck in. But we started with obedience. You can't be faithful and practice disobedience. I could take you to place after place and place in Scripture where it says, if you practice these things, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. And we can struggle with sin. We can be tempted by sin. We can be forgiven, but you cannot yield yourself to the practice of sin. Amen. Please don't do that. Please don't do that. It says in Hebrews of Jesus that he learned obedience. He learned obedience. Jesus, the perfect, sinless Son of God, learned what it is to be obedient. See, obedience isn't always just about sin and wickedness. You can just not want to do the will of God. I don't want to do that. I want to do what I want to do. And Jesus had to learn obedience and what that means in an earth suit with the weakness and the frailty and all the things that describe our journey through time, the things that are unfair, the expressions of evil that touch your life. The illegitimate accusations, the condemnation, the injustice. He learned what it is to be obedient. Now, the payoff of that, it says, now we have a high priest who's been tempted in every way like we have. And yet he was without sin. So that we can approach the throne of grace and find mercy to help us in our time of need. And the second thing we tagged was you have to be willing to do difficult things. We haven't been told this very often. Our faith has been put in the context of what was convenient or easy or fun or pleasant or pleasing. We're going to have to learn to do some difficult things for the kingdom of God. We're not going to see the name of Jesus emerge again in the public square unless we have the courage to do some difficult things. We're not going to see that come back into our schools and our college campuses and our hospital corridors and our courtrooms and our factory floors and our corporate boardrooms unless we're willing to make some difficult choices. I'm pretty certain that D-Day would not have worked unless there were lots of people willing to make some difficult choices. I'm pretty confident there were just thousands of them that felt threatened. The third thing I suggested was you have to be overcomers. Jesus said in John 16, 33, this is worth, he said, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you'll have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. There's a key to this because overcoming is so essential. You're going to have to be an overcomer. That's where the rewards go. It's all over the book of Revelation. Revelation starts with that and concludes with that. But the key is what Jesus just told us. He said, in the world, you'll have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. How do we overcome? How do we overcome injustice? How do we overcome broken hearts? How do we overcome all of the hurts? And how do we overcome our own failures? And how do we overcome our own inconsistencies? And how do we overcome those dark chapters and seasons of our own lives? How do we do that? We do it in Christ. We do it through what Jesus has done for us. We do it through the power of the cross. It's Christ in me. You're right, I am broken and I am inconsistent and I am frail and I'm easily discouraged and easily turned back, but in Christ, He is my strength. He is my hope. He's my redeemer. He is my life. We've got to be overcomers, not just of the evil perpetrated against us. We're going to have to overcome our own indifference, our own apathy, our own willful determination towards ungodliness. We can do this. What's the goal? I want to be faithful. I want to be faithful.
Hey, I'm Pastor Allen, and I asked the team if I could have just a moment with you in the middle of this program. I want to say thank you. Your partnership with us this year has made it the most fruitful year we've ever known together. Your letters, your notes of encouragement, your generosity in giving, your standing with us in prayer, it's making a difference for the gospel in our generation, and I want to say thank you for that. We've expanded the ministry in so many ways. In the platforms we broadcast on radio and television, we were able to do pastors' conferences in major cities across the nation, from Southern California to Florida to the Northwest. Hundreds of you have visited our campus here in Middle Tennessee for our fall festival or the spring. We've seen many of you be baptized in the pool here. God is moving in the earth. As this year comes to a close, I want to ask you to consider making an investment in this ministry so that the year ahead of us will be even more fruitful. You know, I'd like to tell you that we finished the race and we could sit back and rest, but the reality is the turmoil's increased. I know you know that. That's not news. Our assignment's in Romans chapter 12. It says we're supposed to overcome evil. And until we've done that, we'll continue to lean into this. I'm not stopping, and I know you're not either. You know, the question I hear from the people that I do life with around here is, how do we secure our future? The economy's a little upside down. We don't trust Washington, D.C. these days. In fact, we don't trust very many places these days. I don't know how to secure our future apart from the kingdom of God. It's certainly not Wall Street nor the strength of the dollar. And in the midst of economic turmoil, the best investment I know is God's kingdom. So I'd ask you to consider that as you're making your year-end plans. A very generous partner of our ministry has agreed to match our gifts up to $1 million. That means every gift you make in these next few weeks will be double. God is moving in the earth. He's not abandoned us. There are expressions of His faithfulness and His power being demonstrated on a daily basis on this campus and through this ministry. Thank you for your generosity, for your investment, and your faith in what God is doing. Together, we'll make a difference.
Every week seems to bring new challenges and confusion, and we need God's ears and eyes so we can understand the world from His perspective. It's the only way we'll know what He wants us to do. Pastor Allen's new prayer book, Awaken Us, can help. It offers 30 days of prayers, scriptures, and thoughts from Pastor Allen, asking God to change our hearts, reveal Himself in new ways, and give us a fresh understanding of our assignments. Today, when you donate $50 or more, we'll send the book to you, along with a custom ceramic mug that features a simple prayer, Awaken Me. It's our way of thanking you for your investment in the ministry. And remember, every donation through the end of the year will be matched, doubling the impact. Request yours by going to allenjackson.com or by calling 1-800-880-5102.
The fourth component on this little list is we got to be willing to say no to ourselves, to our old carnal nature. That part of me that's hardwired towards me first, I feel, I think, I want. Those cannot be the predominant impulses in your life, and you'll be a faithful Christ follower. We have to deal with them. Look in Luke 9. This was Jesus. He said to all of them, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. You don't just take up your cross when you repent and say the sinner's prayer. A cross is a tool for execution. It's not jewelry. It's not a symbol of a religion. Whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me will save it. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world and yet to lose or forfeit his very self? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his glory and in the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. Did you hear that? If you're ashamed of me, I'm going to be ashamed of you. Think of the times and places we've been reluctant. We all have. I have. Lord, I'm sorry. Think of the times we wanted to close a deal or get ahead or get some opportunity that we wanted or close the loop on something that we thought was important to us, so we'd push our faith way into the background. It's not that big a deal right now. I'll deal with that later. After all, God will forgive me. What an arrogant, presumptive attitude towards the Creator of all things. Do you realize how shabbily we've treated the blood of Jesus? When we push ourselves forward, we go, listen, I'll get what I want, do what I want, be what I want. Then I'll come back around and go, oh, no big problem. Sorry. Do you understand the disrespect in that? Now, we've all done it from time to time to one degree, but if you live that way, if you practice that, I want to be faithful. I want to diminish those places in my life. I want to minimize them. I want to space them further and further apart. I want to find the way things I can do that are expressions of my intent to be faithful. The next thing on the list, this is a really happy list. But if it's a list that will cause the master to say, well done, do you know what an incredible gift it is? You know what a gift? The next one is endurance. Oh, hallelujah. We're back in Hebrews again. Hebrews 12, let us fix our eyes on Jesus. That sounds a lot like where we started in Hebrews 3. In Hebrews 3, it said, fix your thoughts on Jesus. And now in Hebrews 12, we just finished the hall of faith. And he says, now fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning his shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him. Spend time thinking about him who endured such opposition from sinful men so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. The implication is we're going to face opposition because of sinful people. And that one of the outcomes of that opposition is we will be tempted to lose heart. We'll grow weary, we'll be despondent, we'll be discouraged. You see, when endurance fails, we grow weary and lose heart. That's the message of that passage. Consider him who endured so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. When your endurance fails, you grow weary. You quit. You have to guard your attitude. You have to guard your emotions. Emotions are real. God created us with the capacity for emotions. They enhance your life, but they're lousy guides. Because they change so rapidly, the weather will change them. How somebody looks at you will change them. A sentence can change you. You ever had somebody say something to you and it just sets you off? And you can feel the adrenaline go from a sentence. Your emotions will do that to you. So the counsel we're given is consider the endurance that Jesus was willing to embrace so that we won't grow weary. And you've got to monitor those things if you want to be faithful. If you don't want to be faithful, it's okay. I just looked for the simplest definition of endurance. Endurance is the ability of an organism to exert itself and remain active for a long period of time. Its ability to resist, withstand, recover from, and have immunity to trauma, wounds, or fatigue. Wow. What do we say? Well, life's so hard. Yes. As a matter of fact, it can be. Well, I don't like it. Okay. Let's go anyway. We've already decided we're going to do difficult things. We've already decided we're going to be overcomers. Why? Because we want to be found faithful. I want to be found faithful. If Jesus had to learn obedience, I got a feeling Alan may have to learn a little bit of that. Whew. Endurance. You don't believe me yet. Look in Galatians 6. The one who sows to please his sinful nature will from that nature reap destruction. But the one who sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let's not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we'll reap a harvest if we don't give up. Every day you're sowing into something. You're either sowing into your carnal nature or you're sowing into your spiritual nature. And there's a crop coming. There's a crop either that's going to lead to life or there's a crop coming that's going to lead you to destruction. So I wasn't doing something wicked. I wasn't doing something evil. We're confused. You don't have to be blatantly immoral to be carnal. You can just be indulgent. One of the words listed is the work of the flesh is debauchery. Big old word, fancy word. It just means excess. It's never enough. Never enough food, never enough pleasure. You can't ever get it fixed right. You need a little more. You need to redo it. It needs to be upgraded. Just can't be content. Debaucherous. None of us think we're debaucherous. That's somebody else with more than we have. It's not about an amount. You can be impoverished and be overcome with debauchery. What's the message? Don't spend your time trying to satisfy your carnal nature. It cannot be satisfied. The Bible says it's like the waves of the sea, always churning up mire, discontented. Don't give discontent a place. We are discontented. We're the most affluent, the most blessed, the most prosperous. We have more opportunities than any people in the world, and we're the most discontent. We are. I'll get one last, and I'll wrap this up. Perseverance. It's a little different from endurance. James chapter 1 and verse 3. Says, you know. Y'all, when the Bible starts telling you what you know, it's like when I say, y'all remember. Nah, we really don't. Could you remind us? It says, you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. What a happy, happy thought. And perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. See, if you're going to grow up in the Lord, if you're going to mature, you have to deal with perseverance. So you're not going to be able to be a faithful disciple, a faithful follower, unless you're willing to cultivate perseverance. And perseverance is cultivated through testing of your faithfulness. Will you be faithful in this circumstance? Will you be faithful in that circumstance? Can you be faithful here? Can you be faithful over there? It sounds like a Dr. Seuss book. I do not like green eggs and ham. But will you be faithful? And you'll come through one season and you'll learn faithfulness in that arena, and God will put you in another arena and say, can you be faithful with this? And you go, what's this about? I just did that over there. Yeah, I know. But now we're going to grow up. This is the next level. I remember learning English in school. What grade did you learn English in? Every stinking grade. I mean, I went to school forever. And every time I enrolled, next semester, next level, next degree, you had to know more about English. Until they made me learn other languages, and then I couldn't learn those languages until I learned more about English. I thought, was it never enough? No, it never was. And I still sound like this. Well, do you think we're going to master Almighty God? I want to be found faithful. I do. Don't you? So when you go through those hard places, you begin to thank the Lord and say, Lord, I don't understand. I don't know why. I feel incomplete. I'm certainly inadequate. My strength is weary. The opposition looks more robust than I do. But I trust you. I trust you. I'm not going to stop. I'm not going to concede the point. I'm not going to relinquish the field. I'll do my part. Well, it's hard. Yeah, it is. Come on. Well, it looks easier for you. That's just because you can't feel what I feel. We look at other people, oh, it's just so much easier for you. People say that, you know, Pastor, it's just easier for you. You like to read. Well, as a matter of fact, I do. Thank you for that. You know, it's just easier for you. God did something special for you. Yes, he has. Sorry about you, loser. They'll edit that out before that gets broadcast anywhere. But we always tend to look at other people. You know, if I had their family system or I had their resources or I could have done. No. I've done this long enough. I've lived long enough. I've listened to enough people. Brokenness is universal. If more made you happy and content, we wouldn't have all the crisis we have with people that have a lot and make dreadful decisions. It's a heart condition. We want to be faithful.
I want to close our time together today with an invitation to the Spirit of God to invite us towards what God has next. We don't want to just maintain the status quo. We want to grow up in the Lord. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that the Holy Spirit is within us to lead, guide, and direct, to teach us what we need to know. May we have listening ears and receptive hearts to become the men and women you've called us to be. I thank you for what you'll do. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.